I could listen to and watch those Celtic women all day. Maybe every day, but I wouldn't get anything done. Okay, hello, this is William Fink. This is the European Fellowship Forum. It is July 21st, I think my watch says. My eyesight's getting bad. 2011, and thank you for being here. Yeah, you know, the last few weeks, on the Christigenia Monday night open forum, I've been discussing sin and Israel's relationship to the law, and the fact that Israel was promised in the Old Testament scripture as well as New that we would not be judged by the law. Yahweh came here to die in order to release Israel from the law, from the entire law. Does that mean that we throw away the law? Certainly not. Paul answered these same questions in his entire epistle to the Romans, starting with chapter 2. We, as individual Christians, should seek to demonstrate a willingness, but it has to be a willingness to obedience to our God by seeking to establish the laws that He's put in our hearts. That's the whole meaning of Romans chapters 2 through 8. And as I've discussed Israel's relationship to the law and in relationship with the new covenant these last 3 or 4 weeks, I've met a lot of opposition from people, and I have to explain this, right? There are a lot of people who'd listened to me since I got out that I don't know what they thought, but this racial position that Clifton and I have has been very divisive, even in Christian identity circles. And now people who claim, ever since I arrived on the scene on the internet 3 years ago almost, people who claim to have read my writings and Clifton's writings, and who claim to have respected them, all of a sudden now they hate, that they despise us. And they despise us because we won't bend on the race issue. And as I have no other explanation. And what I did on this past Monday's open forum was I read my essay, for the most part, Sin and the First Epistle of John. And I did that in order to demonstrate that what I've been covering and what I've been discussing these past 4 weeks about sin and Israel's relationship to the law is the same thing that I've been writing 5 years ago. And longer than that, actually, but this one example is from 5 years ago. And the bottom line is that the people who criticize me today for my position, who claimed to have been readers of my website and to have one time agreed with me, they've exposed themselves to be liars and hypocrites. If they'd have read my website, that they should have which papers, all of my papers I posted as soon as I created my website almost 3 years ago. If they'd have really read it and if they'd have really paid attention to it, they should have disagreed with me then. I'd like to read just a couple of paragraphs from Sin in the First Epistle of John. And I'm going to read 1 John 5, 1 John 1, 5 to 1 John 2, 2. And this is the message which we have heard from Him, and we announce to you, that Yahweh is light, and there is not any darkness in Him. If we should say that we have fellowship with Him and we would walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we would walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son, Yahshua, cleanses us from all sin. Present tense. If we should say, and John's writing this 60 years after the crucifixion, right? Approximately 60 years after the crucifixion. If we should say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are all sinners. If we would admit our sins, He is trustworthy and just that He would remit or forgive. That word remit means to pay for. And that's what he did. He paid for those sins for us. That he would remit the sins for us and would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No exceptions. If we should say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So we're probably not Israelites in the first place, right? My children, I write these things to you in order that you do not sin. In other words, just because he cleanses us from sin, that doesn't mean that we encourage more sin. Paul wrote the same exact things in Romans chapters 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. And if one should sin, we Israelites have an advocate with the Father, the righteous Yahshua Christ. And he is, present tense, a propitiation on behalf of our sins, yet not for ours only, meaning John and the group of people in Ephesus that he's writing to, but for the whole society, meaning the entire Adamic society. John's teachings concerning Israelites and sin are quite identical with Paul's, such as those found at Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26, probably 28, right? Here we see perfect harmony with the utterances of the prophets. Now, I had opened this essay with quotes from the prophets concerning Yahweh's promises to cleanse all of the sins of the children of Israel, to forget all of the sins of the children of Israel, without exception. That those prophets, that they make those promises by the word of God, and they make no exceptions. And we, in our fleshly state, we might envy our sinful brethren because they're going to be forgiven, or even hate them because of some of the things that they've done. But we don't know their hearts and what's led them to do those things. We just don't. We can't walk their walk. We don't know their trials. And if Christ, if Yahweh himself is going to forgive them, and we don't, what does that make us? And that's what we have to think about. That's why Christ said, watch how you judge, because you will be judged with the measure by which you judge. John 3:7. Children, let no one deceive you. He who is creating justice is just, even as he, meaning Yahweh, is just. He who is creating sin is from of the devil, since the devil sins from the beginning. I attempted to explain Monday that our enemies, the serpent race, the Satan, however you want to describe them, they're all the same. Revelation chapter 12. They are responsible for the sin in this world. They deceived Eve. Adam made a conscious decision to accept Eve. But the enemies of God are those who create the sin in this world. And we see that in our lives every day around us. That this has full and practical application in the world as we know it throughout all history. Look at who the whoremongers are. Look at who the usurers are. Look at who the gamblers are. Look at who sets up every single trap for the children of men. And you'll find those same genetic, Genesis chapter 3, enemies of our God, the seed of the serpent. That's what convinced me, the 2C line, is true when I first started pondering it 12 years ago, maybe 14 by now. Actually, it is 14, I'm sorry. But I'm still a neophyte, right?
all who have been born from of Yahweh do not create sin, because his seed, his sperm, abides in him or her, and he is not able to sin, because from of Yahweh he has been born. Does that mean that we don't sin? No, that's not what John is saying. John said that even if we do sin, we have an advocate. We don't create sin. We generally don't create systems that allow for the sin that our enemies love to set up. The pornography industries and the gambling industries and things like that, that they aren't in our general nature. We don't have a history of setting up those things unless the Jew is among us. That's pretty much evident in history. Aside from that, it's not that we don't sin. It's that we have an advocate. Sin will not be imputed to us. Being children of Israel, that is what the grace of Yahweh means. That is what his favor is, that sin will not be imputed to us. And that's why Paul quoted David when he said, "Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh does not impute sin. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered." David wrote that. Paul quoted it. How are those sins covered? In the blood of Christ. I'm sorry, I think I have my microphone off. We, as a people, do not create sin. Generally, we don't set up systems that manufacture drugs, that manufacture pornography, that build gambling casinos all over the country. The Jews do that. They've always done that. I don't know of any direct occasions where it could be demonstrated that we've done those things without having the Jew in our society. They are the creators of sin. They manufacture sin through their pornography and banking and drug industries. We have the seed of Yahweh in us, and we don't sin. Does that mean that we don't sin in the sense of caving into the sins of the world? Does that mean that we don't sin in the sense of transgressing or committing wrongdoing? No. John said in chapter 2 that when we do sin, we have an advocate in Yahshua Christ. The enemies of God don't have that advocate. They are, as John explains here in chapter 3, the creators of sin. When John talked about sin in relationship with Israel in 1 John chapter 2, John did not use that word create. He just simply used the word sin. That's a serious distinction that my paper makes, that my paper demonstrates, and that exists in John's Greek, is that here in John 1 John chapter 3, he's talking about those who create sin, not simply those who sin. And we see that John tells us that it's the enemies of God that create sin. The children of God do not create sin, because the devil, the enemies of God, are those people who created sin from the beginning. And that's why David said, and Paul quoted, "Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh will not impute sin, and blessed is the man whose sins are covered." Paul quoted that talking about this very same topic to the Romans in the Epistle to the Romans. The children of Israel have a promise that their sins are covered, that they're paid for, they are remitted in Christ. Nobody else has that promise. That is why the children of Israel, once they accept Christ, are not going to be judged by the law. Because we have that cover for all of our transgressions. That there is no exclusion. Well, when Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and in Isaiah, Yahweh says, I will remove their sins. I will forgive their sins. I will cleanse them of all their sins. Over and over again, he says that, and it excludes nobody of the children of Israel. Not one Israelite is ever excluded from any of those promises, no matter what he's done. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is really a separate topic. And we could talk about that if anybody wants to bring it up again today. These promises to forgive the sins of the children of Israel are complete. All men sin, as we saw John himself stated above at chapter 1, verse 10, and as Paul also stated at Romans 3, verse 23. But it was the devil who created sin in the world from the beginning. The children of God are not going to be judged by sin because they're not the creators of sin in this world, although they very often fall victim to it, or victim to their own lusts. However, we have an advocate in Christ. I can't imagine at the resurrection and the return of Christ and the judgment day that any Israelite is going to deny Yahshua Christ. As Yahshua says, every knee shall bow. As Paul says, some men send their sins ahead to the judgment. In other words, other men face their sins at the judgment. But they too will accept Christ at that judgment. I can't imagine anybody being resurrected to the fleshly body and sin, to the glorified body and seeing their God, not repenting. But only Israel has that promise. It doesn't matter how many Jews, how many of the seed of the serpent, or to what degree they carry that seed. It doesn't matter whether or not they've been the knee to Yahweh. Yahshua says, get away from me, I never knew you. Some people like to take that out of context. But bending the knee, Isaiah chapter 45, only has to do with the children of Israel. Nobody else is going to bend the knee to Yahweh, because they won't have the opportunity. Get away from me, I never knew you. So salvation is strictly genetic. As John says, the children of Yahweh cannot sin because their seed, their sperma, is in them. It's Catholic to think that good boys go to heaven and bad boys go to hell. Covenant theology teaches that all Israelites are resurrected and participate in the kingdom of heaven. Some of us awaken, as the prophet Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12, to eternal glory, and some of us awaken to eternal reproach, meaning that if we have lived sinful lives in this life, we will have to live with that fact in the kingdom. That's what Daniel chapter 12 is telling us very clearly. So it's better that we repent now and build things worthy of the kingdom, because Paul says that if a man's works are burnt up in the fire, he will receive no reward, yet he himself shall be saved. He himself shall be preserved at the day of judgment. Okay, this is an open forum. I just had to encapsulate that argument because that's basically the argument I tried to make on Monday. And I really wanted to show on Monday that the things I've been teaching about sin and the law are nothing new. I've been teaching them for many years. There's a lot of proof in the essays on my website that Clifton published long before I got out of prison. But the most glaring is in that essay called Sin in the First Epistle of John that I covered on Monday. So if anybody would like to talk about that or about anything else, you're welcome. This is an open forum, and I hope somebody wants to talk about something. So I'll just unmute a few people and see what happens, right?
Yeah, the only thing I can't understand, we have to, man being in a flesh body, we have to live under law. I mean, we have the Ten Commandments.
Well, right. He who loves me keeps my commandments, but our judgment is apart from that.
Right. But if a man murders another man, he has to be put to death because that's the law.
We don't have that. Well, we don't have that ability under the New Covenant. Our forefathers lost that ability when they were expelled from the kingdom of Yahweh 2,700 years ago. And we were put under a series of worldly kingdoms as our punishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to obey the governments of those worldly kingdoms. We can't enforce the judgments of the law. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells us to put the evil from among you and to put the unrepentant sinner out of the community. And that's what we should do. But we don't get, you know, some of our people at various times, and especially at the founding of the United States, and with the certain events in England over the years, like the Magna Carta, where the English people tried to guarantee themselves justice, right? But we've tried to establish God-fearing and law-abiding nations. There's no doubt. But the beast has always overtaken them. And that is because of the prophecy that we would be under these powers of these tyrants and these beast, dragon-fed devils for a predetermined amount of time.
That's right.
If some of our governments at diverse times have mostly kept the judgments of the law, well, that's fine. And like Paul said in Romans chapter 2, that's the manifestation of the laws written upon your hearts that cause us to do that. But we're not to be judged under the law, and we're not to judge each other under the law. But we have to put away those who are harming us and from our communion, right? That they have to be put out of our community. That's the clear teaching of Scripture that I've been talking about the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, but I don't understand is, we have our laws in the Old Testament about, you know, eye for an eye and all that, and to have laws for man to live by, and we got the Ten Commandments to go by. I don't see how it works in our society as we have now. With putting someone out, someone, you know, say you got a murderer, a rapist, or something like that, a child molester, and you just can't put them out and then have them go to some other town or something like that.
At one time we could, but we failed to do that too.
Christian, you know, type of environment, but now I don't see how that law we can't have we have to have law, even like the laws of the Ten Commandments. We have to have that to keep a sound society.
Well, Paul says to put those people outside and Yahweh will judge them. To put those people out of our community and Yahweh will judge them. That's exactly what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
Mm-hmm.
And if we would only put our trust in God, perhaps he would judge them. Christianity has never been practiced. Because Christians have no faith in God.
Well, we haven't had, every time you turn around, you got the Jews moving in your land and changing our laws, and which we have the problem now.
The Jews that the same Christ and the same apostles tell us to have nothing to do with, and we keep submitting to them, and we submit ourselves to them. It's part of our punishment. That's the Christian paradox, is that we have these guidelines to live by while we're also in a period of punishment, right? I mean, Christ came 600 or 700 years into this 2,520-year promised period of punishment. That there were still many years to go, and now we're in this time of Jacob's trouble, I believe, that it is the last time. We know that this is supposed to be an evil age because Esau has come to rule over us.
Right.
Yeah. Another thing that doesn't click with me is when Christ said, "I come not to change the law, but fulfill." Now,
he said not one jot or tittle of the law would be lost.
That's right.
And he fulfilled the law. You know that Greek word does mean to end.
But he fulfilled, but he fulfilled the law.
He fulfilled the law by becoming the ultimate sacrifice and by discharging Israel from the law. When the husband dies, the wife is discharged from the law.
Right.
We all deserve to die. All of Israel, when Yahweh divorced Israel, Israel played the harlot. What's the judgment under the law for adultery?
Death.
All of Israel deserved to die. The judgment, if Israel were to be judged by the law, the entire nation, every last man, woman, and child, would be dead. That's the law.
Yeah.
Well, Yahweh promised that Israel would live, and not only would Israel live, but he would be betrothed to Israel forever.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah 30, he promises that in Hosea chapter 2. In Jeremiah chapter 31, he promises that Israel will always be a nation. This is long after Israel was expelled for the sin of adultery.
Right.
Well, all of Israel is dead. That they all, by the judgments of the law, deserve to die. Not one of us should be here. So God had a choice, right? I mean, he planned all this in advance, right? To demonstrate to us that he will keep the letter of the law. But we can't. God demonstrated that to us by coming here as a man and dying. So that Israel would be discharged from the law. If the husband dies, the wife is discharged from the law of the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Right. Yep.
So how are we under the law? That's what the apostles tried to explain. That's what Paul and Peter tried to explain. That's why Paul said the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. Now that we're under Christ and his favor and not under the law, should we judge each other by the law or should we judge each other by the will of God? It's mercy I seek and not sacrifice. If your brother does you wrong 70 times, seven times, and says, I repent, you should forgive him. There's a whole lot of things concerning mercy that people who are the people I call modern-day Pharisees and insist we stick to the letter of the law ignore. Okay? And that doesn't mean that we let rapists go into community. Because Christians, as individuals, as Paul says in Romans chapter 3, should seek to establish the law. Because the law should be our ideal. But we shouldn't judge each other by it because we ourselves have been forgiven of it and have been discharged from it. If we weren't forgiven of it and discharged from it, we should all be dead. That's what Paul tried to explain. So if you want to judge your brother under the law, you are basically convicting yourself. That's why Christ said, you will be judged by the manner in which you judge. Now, the law given to the Levites is not really the perfect law of God, and that we, as we have it, I mean, Jeremiah 8:8 proves that, and Christ even said that. But it's the moral laws of God and the Ten Commandments Those we should seek to keep, because that's the model that Yahweh laid forth for us.
Exactly.
But if your brother breaks one, that doesn't mean that you take him out and stone him. Because the law sought forgiveness, and the Levites, yeah, you know, there's precepts in the law that state, do unto others as you would expect, you know, to be done unto you, to mm-hmm. love your brother. Well, the Levites threw all that out. You know, the early priests threw all that out. If you go back and research the books of Kings and Chronicles and the prophets, you'll find that they were actually using the cities of refuge as a source of income. Well, when you fled to a city of refuge, if you bribed them with enough money, they'd let you stay. If you didn't, you were turned over to your accusers. Yeah, you know, they were using justice for money. People were sinning knowing that they could be forgiven of their sins just by bringing a couple of doves to the temple on Saturday.
Right, yeah. It became a business.
Yeah.
And that's why Christ said, it's mercy I seek and not sacrifice. All of this that I've said about the law is entirely scriptural. I am not making any of it up.
No,
people don't understand it because I know that Christian identity has put a very heavy emphasis on the law, and I never resisted that because we as individuals, we should seek to keep the law.
Yeah.
And I understand that, but we don't judge each other by the law.
Well, I understood that if you do judge, you have to judge righteously.
True. Sure.
Well, absolutely, but he who fails in one point of the law is guilty of the whole thing. So if you judge your brother by the law, you better have a clean slate. You better have never failed.
Yeah. What I just can't put together here is, like I said before, your capital punishment and stuff like that, people that have murdered other people and things
Well, that's where our trust in God comes. That's why we're told to put those people out of our community.
If you trusted in God,
he would judge them. But we've never practiced that. When have we ever practiced that as a people?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We've let a lot of these people out and then turned around and murdered again. So, I mean, if you murder your brother, you know, you should be under the law. You should eye for an eye.
Well, you know, go read Matthew chapter 5.
I mean, how do you keep society in order? That's what I'm, you know, I can't.
How do you reconcile that with Matthew chapter 5? Let me bring up my Bible words here.
Yeah, let me look here. Because I know if we judge, we're supposed to judge righteously. Christ did come and died on the cross for our sins. A lot of our sins were taken to the sins of sacrifice, and he was that sacrificial lamb. But sin is the transgression of the law. And so what law would we be talking about if we're not under law? We don't have a law.
Well, he who loves me keeps my commandments. And every time he asked what those were, he uttered the Ten Commandments. And we have to understand that if you keep the Ten Commandments,
right,
it's really difficult to break the letter of the Hebrew law. But there are, there are a lot of Hebrew laws that are rituals and that are, minor things that we're told to do that really aren't covered by the Ten Commandments. But infracting on any of those doesn't do any harm to your brethren. And that's why people when that want to rule over each other with the letter of the Old Testament law, they become Pharisees. And this came to a head, and I started discussing this topic when somebody started teaching that if you're married to a woman who is not a virgin, you've committed adultery and you have to break off sexual relations with that woman.
Yeah, right.
And I proved that position to be ridiculous. And basically, if no man has a claim on that woman as a wife, and if you consider that woman your wife and you've had conjugal relationships with her for X amount of time, and your conjugal relationship with her is not harming anybody in the community, who the hell are you to stick your head in your bedroom?
Right.
Who the hell are you to judge them by the law? This is what the New Testament says about judging people by the law. And I haven't deviated from that one bit. And yes, the law is our ideal and we should seek to keep it. But we're not to be judged. We're not going to be judged by it. And who the hell are we to judge our brother by it when they're doing us no harm? Mm-hmm. Who are we to do that?
Yeah. There's just so much in the law there. You know, I mean, we got laws pertaining to growing our fruits, and we have laws of, you know, of rest, the Sabbath day laws, and stuff like that. But that's just what the thing about it is society nowadays, you know, if what are you supposed to do with these people? I mean,
let me read Matthew 5:38.
You know.
But you have heard it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is Christ speaking. Now I say to you not to oppose evil, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, of course, he's only talking to and for and by and about Israelites, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And we can't take it out of that context. And if your brother does you any harm, you should rely on Yahweh to correct your brother. And then you should confront your brother about it, but you're not to judge him by the law by taking him out and stoning him. In other words, if I take something of yours and don't return it, and we're told this in other places, right? If I take something of yours and don't return it, you shouldn't drag me off to the civil authorities. You shouldn't seek to have me hung if I'm a horse rustler and I steal your horse. You should come to me and say, Bill, give me my horse back. And if I say no, and you should go get two or three witnesses and say, Bill, give me my horse back. And this is a teaching of Christ, and I could go to many places in the gospel to demonstrate this. And if I still say, go to hell, you ain't getting your horse back, you should go to the assembly and say, hey, so-and-so stole my horse, and he won't give it back. And they would know to shut me off from communion and not deal with me. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to put your trust in God at that point to punish me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Christians have never done that. We always want to take that vengeance into our own hands.
But that, the law of stealing was a law where you had to pay him back a double, or if he went and sold something of yours, you had to pay him back like five times that amount.
That's the Old Testament Levitical law. That was given to us for a specific reason, for the function of that kingdom, and that's how we were told we were to judge. But we've lost that kingdom. That's not our kingdom anymore.
I understand that. I always understood that it was the law of the sacrifice that was done away with. Those were the laws that were done away with.
Well,
the laws of the sacrifice.
You know, the rituals were absolutely done away with, but the rest is hair splitting. And there's nothing in the Old Testament that determines the difference between that with any explicit statement, right? Between what's ordinances and what's commandments and what's rituals. And yeah, somebody might be able to sit down and say they could figure it out.
Right.
But the bottom line is that even if you want to hold us to all of that, well then how do you account for Matthew chapter 5 here? All right, if an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, what's that? A commandment, a statute, an ordinance, or a ritual? Pick one.
No, it's supposed to be a commandment.
And then read Matthew chapter 5 here that I just recited. We're not to judge each other by the law. We lost that right. We lost that right. We're all guilty as death. How can we seek to uphold the law? We all have the mercy of Christ, and we should have that same mercy towards our brother. And if our brother does us wrong, Christ tells us to forgive him. And if we perceive that our brother might be sinning and he's not doing us wrong, well, if he's not harming anybody in the community, then who the hell are we to put our head in his business? That's my whole point with the anti-adultery crowd that put their own wives away after they've accepted them for X number of years. Then they decide they're going to self-justify themselves and put them away. And that's a self-righteous self-justification, and they think they have reward in that, and they're just kidding themselves. And then they want to enforce that on other people, and they're just kidding themselves.
Well, it says here in Matthew 7, for do not condemn in order that you not be condemned.
Well, right.
For with judgment by which you condemn, you shall be judged. And with the measure by which you measure, it shall be measured with you.
And if you ever violated that same law that your brother has violated, and now you're trying to condemn him for it, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Aye. Oy vey.
The law is our tutor to bring us to Christ. It's our ideal. We should keep it. If we're good Christians, we should keep it. But we also know at times that we're going to fail. As John explains in 1 John, when we do fail, we have an advocate. If we have an advocate, if your brother has an advocate in Christ, how could you condemn your brother?
Yeah.
I just don't. The thing about it is nowadays in our society, how could you run a society and keep it in order? Keep a safe society. Of course, if you don't have, like you said, if we didn't have all these blacks and we had all these Jews and everything, all these non-whites in our countries, I guess there wouldn't be a lot of crime or anything, really.
Well, the crime would be absolutely insignificant. Look at the all-white nations. How much crime is there in Switzerland?
Well,
the Scandinavian nations are only seeing crime now because these last 20 years they've let in a bunch of aliens.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
No. So now they're experiencing it.
Over here, you know, people are when I'm in the States, they're saying, "Oh, I can't believe you live in Belfast. You know how dangerous it is there." I mean, there's what, two people killed, like every 6 months, I think, or something like that. You know what I mean? Where there's like 30 murders in the county of Los Angeles every month.
Right.
Yeah.
My relatives who were in the law enforcement told me personally, Danny, if it wasn't for blacks, there wouldn't be any crime in Youngstown, Ohio. Or in Cleveland, Ohio. There wouldn't be any crime. And that's... Yeah, it's interesting. It's very... It's, yeah, I mean, you know, there it is. It says it.
Well, I never really got on Eli's case about the law because I realize that the other position is to throw the law out. That people in their minds break things down into black and white, and they can't seem to think and to see things in the abstract. And our relationship with the law is in the new covenant abstract. We're not to judge each other by the law. But we as individuals should seek to keep the law. And when our brother transgresses the law, we should try to correct him, but we're not to condemn him. Now, if he's harming other people in the community, then he has to be put out of the community. And that's how, and that's scriptural, 100% scripturally congruent in context of the New Testament, the entire New Testament.
So you're saying Yahweh says that instead of an eye for an eye, you shall remove them, and that's the punishment.
Well, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Remove him, and Yahweh will judge him.
No.
The answer in our scripture is that you don't overdo the punishment. That
right.
can be read two ways,
mm-hmm.
an
exactly.
eye for an eye, you know. But it's just an eye for an eye. You don't overdo the punishment.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I read that.
Well, that's exactly right, Dorcas. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And the other comment in the log at the bottom about honoring your mother and father. Children, if they're brought up to honor their mother and father, it doesn't mean
right.
to say you've got to love them or even
right.
like them, but you honor the position that they've been given. And
well, you should respect their wishes.
There's all lessons in it all.
Right.
You
I always
don't turn
that.
On your parents and treat them in a horrible way because you've got to honor their position.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Because I believe that way there you honor Yahweh. You're doing it for Yahweh's sake.
That's right.
Because he asked you to do it. You don't do it how your mother and father treated you. You're doing it because our Heavenly Father asked us to do this.
Yes.
You know, and that's the way I've always understood, because I've run into people with problems with that, too. You know,
because people think they've got to love their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if the parents are not good to them, or...
Right.
It's okay not to like them, but you've still got to honor them. People
mm-hmm.
got that love question mixed up.
Yes, you're doing it for Yahweh's sake because he asked you to do it. That's the way I always understood that.
Yeah.
So you just got to drill into your children on Mother's Day and Father's Day to make sure they don't spend anything under $50. So,
yeah.
I'm just joking. But no, that's the way I understood that. So I was lucky I had good parents. They taught us grace.
It gives boundaries. People know the boundary. That makes a big difference to society.
Yes. Well, it's amazing now how a lot of children are so different. The way I was raised, the way they speak to elderly people and stuff like that. And, they speak to adults.
Well, basically, our children are raised by atheistic, Khazar, homosexual Jews.
Right.
Yes.
That's what Hollywood is, and they're raising our kids.
That's right, because that was all outside the home. If you wanted to seek that sort of life, you had to go outside the home. But now it's in the home, and people are living with it. Whereas in my young day, you didn't have TVs. There wasn't much on the radio.
Right.
Well, I wish I realized it when I was younger, or my kids would have never got a television. But if you want to hire an atheist, homosexual Hollywood Jew to be your babysitter, then buy yourself a TV and let your kids have the TV.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
He's living with us. He's living in our homes.
Every time you turn it on.
As I said before, I watched the program TV over in the state of Israel, and they were in the home of these rabbis, and you did not see TVs in their homes. They don't let their children watch TV. Not the ones that I saw. No Orthodox Jews, rabbis, or anything had TVs. Their children. And they remarked at the point where a lot of the Goyim homes, you don't see books. Not like in their homes where they have books and stuff like that. The Goyim said that, you know, they don't have books in their homes.
That's right.
So that's, and that's true. A lot of it, when I think about it.
I think I heard Madonna say her children, she hasn't got television. I think her character is wanting, but she knows the evil influence of TV.
Sure.
So she doesn't let her children watch TV. I mean,
her children are all adopted from every nation under the sun.
Yeah. You notice that?
Yeah, they won't watch TV, but they'll still grow up swinging from branches.
Exactly.
Oh, they'll turn on them. They'll turn on them when they get older. But that's what the thing is in Hollywood now. They all have a kid from each different race or something that looks absolutely silly.
That's right. Yeah.
It looks silly. Yeah. I mean,
well, they're trophy pets, right? I mean. Real men 100 years ago used to go off to Africa and bring back a boar's head or something.
Right.
An elephant tusk or something. Now they bring back a chimp. They want to put it in human clothing.
I mean, it's not right. It's really not right for those children, these nigger children and stuff like that, to be brought into these white families like this. And they're going to turn around and probably, you know, be a brutal to the white kids that are there. Because that's normally what happens with them. Because the blacks, when they get around you, they get jealous of you. And then they turn on you. So I've seen it happen a lot. You know, they act like you're your friends and everything, and then they turn around, and they're always jealous of the white. The blacks are just jealous of white people, no matter what. They're just jealous of them.
And white people fall over themselves to be clever to the inside. They're falling over themselves.
I'm not racist. I vote
make them feel comfortable. What for? It's ridiculous.
Yes, and all this fair trade. Have you noticed when you go to the store to buy anything, it's always fair trade? Well, fair to whom?
Yeah, you notice even the products, everything has half-breed, the little nigger kids and black kids on it. And, you know, they don't have even Asian. It's all half-breed black babies and on the nappies or the diapers, you know, Pampers. They always have little half-breeds. And I told the lady over there, the Gordon's chemist there, I was saying, you think you were in Africa or something, like black Africa with all this. Look at all this stuff. To be surprised, a lot of people think they believe that they believe like you.
Hello, Rudolph. We have Big Ben going on somewhere again.
Oh, is that Dorcas?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
She just likes to call attention, that's all.
You know, that's something that's why I think my ancestors left England. The clock's going off every hour like that. About drive a man nuts.
Yeah.
That's got the Westminster chimes. That's the same as Big Ben. That is a different clock to the one you heard earlier, because I turned that one off and I forgot to turn the other to stop the other one.
So I've got two going.
Boy,
yes. Wow.
Ding dong house there, I'd say.
Yeah,
we have one that does that too.
Do you really have a mouse in the clock? I'm trying to picture a traditional English home. It's supposed to have a mouse in the clock, I think.
Mouse? No, that's Switzerland, isn't it? Where they have something pop out.
What was it? No, I thought there was something about tick-tock, a mouse ran up the clock or something. I'm trying to remember my childhood lines, but it's been way too long ago. The mother goose rhymes.
In Switzerland, they have cuckoo clocks. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, we won't forget. Well, we won't lose track of time on this program, I'll tell you that.
No.
Hello, Rudolph. I see you there, but I don't hear you, so. Yeah, that's a hint.
Oh, Bill, I got a hold of our friend over here that you forwarded email to, and I've got to call him when I get some time. We're going to probably hook up and...
Oh, Martin and Angela, yeah, that's great.
Yep, and thanks a lot. He sounds like a pretty nice guy.
Oh, they're wonderful. And, they're absolutely wonderful.
We have a lot in common.
Yeah, well, I think that. I was just saying, he's really busy. I don't like to bother him or his wife, and they've got their hands full with kids and searching for careers and moving. And I had heard from them last winter, and then I didn't hear from them for almost a year. Yeah, you know, or it was a long time anyway, so that's why I'm just finally getting them in touch with you now, right?
Right. Yeah, I guess they had to get out of Belfast, and I guess it's really getting integrated, and probably too, because I was at a shopping center over here a couple of days ago, and I just could not get over. I think I was talking to Judith, or who was I talking about? There was just crowds, big gangs of blacks there. They're a gang of, five or six to me is a gang. Just hanging out there, you know, just, it's like something you would see in Chicago or Los Angeles, down in Watts or something, but over here in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
It's coming. You know, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Next thing, you know, the women will be getting raped. And
yeah,
it's just,
right.
You can't get over it. And talking to people about it, it's like, well, I've never had a black man hurt me, and that's what they tell me.
Yeah, well.
It's just a matter of time then, buddy. So, but I couldn't get over it. So, like Martin was saying, that down in Belfast, I guess it's just really getting integrated down there. I know that.
Yeah, well, it's give it another year or two, and you'll see the crime reports in the neighborhoods will go way up and way down, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look on the Saxon Messenger site, you'll see a memoriam on the left-hand side at the bottom to Gareth Keyes, and that's Martin's brother, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah. He was killed in an industrial accident in Ireland a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
He was 2C-line identity also. He was about persuasion too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Martin doesn't think that the accident was an accident, but...
Yeah, there it was.
Martin sent me that, so I took the liberty of
mm-hmm.
putting it up on the site.
Yeah, I guess they had to get out of Belfast and move out, and now they're in a town and they're looking for another place. Or I think they did find another house they'll be moving. So he said once he gets settled and we can, I was telling him about getting on the TeamSpeak and Chris Ogenia and all that. So he said once they get lined up with their computer and everything, they'll be in touch with us all.
Yeah, that would be great to see them here.
Fantastic. I think it's... Hmm. At one time, it was like I felt like I was the only one in Europe that felt like I did. You know, I didn't realize I had so many brothers and sisters in this.
Mm-hmm. No.
Well, I think Martin found... I think he found Clifton through the Israel Elect site and started writing him. And then Clifton gave him my address and he started writing me.
Right.
Maybe about 6-7 years ago.
Wow.
Maybe longer, I don't know. It's been a while. It might be well it can't be more than 10 years ago, but it was a while ago.
Wow. It's been for a while.
I started communicating with Clifton I think in 98, my first letters to Clifton.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Well, which Clifton said the other night on the chat here that he found some of my first letters to him in 98, 99.
Because I remember reading, where I started hearing your name, Bill, was when we had this discussion on 2C line, and Willie Martin, who I knew from Texas, he gave me your, or he mentioned your name.
Well, I'm surprised, because Clifton the other day found that Eli had made a lengthy quote from a Willie Martin paper about Tamar in his mailing, and that was a paper that Clifton wrote, right? Willie Martin would just take other people's stuff, take their names off it, change the words he didn't like, and put it out there.
Wow.
I swear. He did it all the time.
Yeah.
And Eli sent an email out last week quoting Willie Martin, and I know damn well, because I got it here, right? I got every one of Clifton's teaching letters in print up until I got home, and it's Watchman's teaching letter number 3. is what it is. And Clifton mentioned Stephen Jones in it, I think. And Willie Martin took Stephen Jones' name out of it. And put it up on the internet like it was his, right? But Willie did that all the time. I found a few of Clifton's papers, and I know of Clifton's papers because I proofread them. And it got Willie Martin's name on it on a website somewhere or other, right? There's a few of them out there.
Yeah, I have his book. I have his book. He sent me a book before he passed away. He was a crippled guy. He was in a wheelchair.
He just had no tact when it came to using other people's material, right?
Yeah. Well,
yeah, you know, I don't think he was really just trying to take credit for it, you know, but he was trying to get it out there, but he had no tact, and you should at least mention that it's somebody else's paper, right?
Right, yeah. He was in pretty big time with fighting the 1C liners in it. Mark Downey and who's the other guy? Ted Weiland is his name. And Richard and Amelia, all these guys.
Oh, Neil Mallet. Yeah, they're all clowns.
Yeah, and then, I heard that Pastor Pete Peters passed away last week.
Pete Peters is dead, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He fell off a horse from an injury from a horse.
Last year.
I guess something about
probably right around the time that he started throwing people out of his assembly for using the name Yahweh, right? Now, that's probably about the time he fell off the horse. That would be my guess.
Yeah. He was another one who proponent of that 1C line thing. I never heard of that 1C line theory until like early 2000 or 2001. It just seemed like it came out of nowhere. And who was it? Who else was it? It was who was pushing that also. There was, it was Pete Peters. And then he had a guy that he used to listen to all the time. I can't remember now, in his church. But
I don't know. There's so many of So many frauds in identity. That they come from other churches into Christian identity, and then they want to change identity to be like the other churches. They come from the Worldwide Church of God or from the Episcopalians or the Jehovah's Witnesses, and then they want to make identity be like those.
Yes.
Yep, that's wrong.
So they're not taking the step forward.
Mm.
They're trying to pull everybody else backwards. That's what they're doing.
No.
Yeah, I never heard of it. I always thought that Christian identity was 2C line, but I never knew anything different than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not 2C line, then it's not identity. I mean, if you're not identifying all the parties of the Bible, then you're kidding yourself.
Right. Hmm. It's not Christianity. To me, it's Christianity. That's it. That's the way it teaches.
I would rather just say, in fact, when Condit asked me last night, he said, he asked what I was, and I said, I'm a conservative Christian. And he must have known I was identity, because then he said, are you an identist? But then he's telling me I'm wrong about that, right? So I might have made him on that, too. which I'll take him apart on.
Is that on... recorded.
I had a discussion that was kind of like a debate, but I got animated a few times. but yeah, it's on the Mind Comp site right now.
My earphones are caught there.
It's hard to debate with somebody that has nothing but conjecture, and he had a few claims that I didn't really have all the facts to yet, you know, because, I mean, World War II is just a huge topic, right? He had almost all conjecture and hearsay evidence that he's trying to push as fact, and it's hard to argue against that garbage. Well, this morning I put an essay on the front page of the Mein Kampf site. It's not really an essay, but I took apart one of his sources this morning and exposed him. And that's that Otto Strasser. I only covered one facet of Otto Strasser's claims, but I took that facet apart.
Yeah, that was why I was screaming in the chat yesterday about Otto Strasser, because every time he mentioned him, my skin crawled.
Right. Well, Corsican, what I did this morning was I took Otto Strasser's remarks that this Douglas Reed just ate up, right? His remarks concerning Hitler's discharge from the hospital and return to Munich, right? That he tries to show that Hitler was a communist because he went back to Munich, and I dismantled that this morning, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And showed that Strasser was basically a liar. But I did that this morning and put it on the front page of my site. It's right with the podcast.
Oh.
Eventually, I'll make it a separate article because I'm probably going to have a series called The Lies of Otto Strasser, parts 1, 2, 3. You know, I'll go through the book and point out a few other things that he lies about. But, yeah, I noticed as soon as I read that he's accusing Hitler of being a communist because he returned to Munich when he got out of the hospital. I knew he was full of it, and I went and disproved it, right?
Yeah, but using Otto Strasser is absolutely insanity. I thought when I heard him use it, I was screaming at the screen because using Otto Strasser to criticize Hitler as an actual source, right, is absolute insanity.
Well, right, but I didn't know that last night yet. Let me put it this way, okay? I try to stay with what I know to be true, right?
Of course,
and study that. And I'm not, my weak point talking about World War II, I think, is all the little battle strategies, right? That's not my thing. That's not my specialty. I don't do it. That's why I like having John there or Sword Brethren, because they're into all that, right? And they know a lot more about that than me. And last night I was pretty much on my own when he brought up Moscow. I kind of knew that Hitler ordered the center army group center to take its defensive position at one point, and I remembered that. But it's not my specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's just not what I do. Mm-hmm. Now I just lost my original point. Well, I would have appreciated the help about Strasser because I try to. Pay attention to what is true, and there are, for every Jew that was in or near Europe during World War II, there's a book that's full of shit. Mm-hmm. There's a book that's a fairy tale for just about every Jew. And it's there are so many books written by Jews and by anti-Hitler types or by people that got the short end of the political stick in the 1930s. There were so many books written by and about those people that nobody could know them all.
Of course. No, of course. Yeah, of course. And the reason that he knows that, and that's the reason he used Otto Strasser as a first-hand account, right? That's why he repeated over and over, because claiming that this guy represents a first-hand account as if this is like his best friend talking about Hitler, so he couldn't lie. But that's the reason it annoyed me, because Otto Strasser is well known to be a hardcore leftist, right? It's one of these communists that Hitler took in to kind of convert from the dark side type of thing.
Yeah, and a lot of them didn't do it.
Exactly, and a lot of them remain in the dark side. That's one of them. And he was a very radical communist at that. And he's basically the father of national Bolsheviks and hardcore national Stalinist, etc. So we're not talking about the greatest source, because he's going to hate the hell out of Hitler, because he saw Hitler as a quasi capitalist in his opinion. So
Well, I proved it in his remarks. I think I proved it. I just pulled out, you know, Hitler's quotes from Mein Kampf and correctly assessed, and I added a few things to it about Munich in 1919 to show that Douglas Reed and Otto Strasser are totally wrong and false in the revaluation of the six-month period between the time of Hitler's return to Munich and the time of the Free Corps getting rid of the communist regime in Munich, right? Yeah, you know, Strasser tried to portray Hitler as being a communist because Hitler was in the army in Bavaria. You know, he omitted the fact that when the communists, the Soviet Bolsheviks didn't come to rule in Bavaria until April of 1919, and when they did, they formed their own army.
Well, yeah, but Strasser is almost speaking in jest, because Strasser himself was pulling Hitler to the left, arguing that he was not left enough, right? So, in other words, he's using the strategy of attacking him in the way that he was attacked himself, right? But in later years, he ended up being openly a Bolshevik. He would just argue that he was a national Bolshevik, right? That he was a nationalist and a Bolshevik. And that's why you have so many people in Russia right now that call themselves national Bolsheviks. But the Strasserites, which is a huge sect, right? They eventually start calling themselves national communists, which is another sect that Strasser started. The national communists are the same thing, and they call themselves national communists. They use the hammer and sickle instead of the swastika, the same flag, but instead of the swastika, the hammer and sickle in black in the center. This is a huge movement that these guys started. So, is this a source, right? I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of a crazy source to use. Guys that basically ended up being in the left, they call themselves nationalists.
Who was the bald-headed one that was in the National Socialist friend of Hitler that was supposed to be? What?
Stryker.
And he was very anti-Jew.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's like he was considered like the holy father of anti-Semitism.
Yeah. Because I remember when I read that David Irving's quotes from supposedly from Joseph Goebbels' diary. It was saying that Stryker, was his name Stryker?
Yeah, but even other National Socialists consider him to be a nut when it comes to his view on anti-Semitism. I don't agree with that perspective, but my point is he was viewed as the most radical anti-Semite in the world, right? And actually, in Nuremberg, in Nuremberg, he was the only one that when he had the noose around his neck, screamed, Heil Hitler. Adolf Hitler will come back, Sieg Heil, that was a Jew type of thing. Like, he was hardcore.
Very good. Yeah. You mean he didn't say, Father, forgive them, for they know?
No. He's the only one that screamed,
the last great defiance.
Yeah, he was hardcore.
There you go.
He dedicated an entire newspaper to that. He wrote children's books about Jews, burned them to, to diseases, etc. I mean, he was hardcore. He dedicated his entire life to that. So, he was a guy.
Well, I think about half of the Grimm's Brothers fairy tales are about Jews. I mean, I read Rumpelstiltskin.
Well, the portion of
Hansel and Gretel
by him.
Yeah, those are supposed to be old Israelite children's rhymes and stuff, stories. So they're old Israelite stories.
Well, you got the Jew in the woods that kidnaps kids, and you got the Jewish woman and that bakes kids into cookies, and
Little Red Riding Hood and all that, and Jack.
You got the Jew troll under the bridge collecting the tolls. That's got to be a story about medieval Jews. I'm sorry, there's nothing else that makes sense.
Yeah, they're always whispering in the ears of the kings, you know. That's what they do.
Well, if you go watch that movie, and Martin, he's not here right now, but he loves to talk about this movie, Judge Suicide. I got a copy of it on the Mein Kampf site. Go watch that movie, and it's about the Jew getting in and loaning the nobleman some money and getting control of the roads and collecting tolls.
Yeah.
And if you read Grimm's Fairy Tales about the ogre under the bridge collecting the tolls, that's where those stories came from. I mean, it may have been that way in ancient Canaan too. You know, the Edomites had controlled the trade routes in southern Judah and in Arabia at an early time. That you know, the camel, the caravan routes, and they were collecting tolls and robbing caravans and doing all that. And it's something they've been doing from the beginning.
Right.
Most probably. Yeah.
Go ahead,
Tony. What was the name of the video you just mentioned, or the movie that you said was... I couldn't quite catch it.
Judge Suss. It's Judge Suss, maybe, in German. It's J-U-D-S-U-S-S.
Jesus. Yeah, that's the famous film. Yeah, great film. Yeah, that's right. I know it. Yeah.
That's right. It's right on the Mein Kampf menu on the right hand side, about a quarter of the way down under Media Library. You'll see it.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I'll find it.
Yeah.
I haven't watched the whole thing myself yet, but Martin talks about it all the time. I think he watches it over and over. I got a lot of full-length movies on that site, The House of Rothschild, The Eternal Jew.
Yeah, that's the one there, The Eternal Jew. That is excellent for newcomers.
Oh, of course, he can still have said he's got it on his desktop. Right.
Yeah, that's a great movie there, The Eternal Jew. And that other site too that you can go on, comeinhere.com, that has the Sonsino, I think, edition of the Talmud.
Yeah.
You can go and look it up. Look under the Elizabeth Dilling, her commentary under there for anybody interested in reading what the Talmud says about Christianity and non-Jews. Comeinhere.com.
And you know, Israel Elect mirrors that, and I've been thinking about mirroring it, but I'm going to wait until I get I upgrade the server at Christigenia again. Because I have no room on my server. It's full.
PDH form, PDH server. Yeah, it's
Hans Wismar.
And what's that about Corsican sword, Hans Wismar?
Comeinhere.com.
Oh, against communists, yeah.
And there's another new site. I don't know who runs it, and I ain't telling who runs it. It's john844.org that you might want to sign up for.
Yeah.
john844.org. Is that john844.com?
No, john844.org.
.org, okay.
I mean, you could try going to john844.com, but it ain't going to get you anywhere but Christigenia.
So how's everybody else doing? Papa Cat? Jared? Prime?
Yeah, the Americans never talk on this program. Any American wants to talk, just pipe up and we'll turn your microphone on.
Yeah.
They got this one this American here, and he just talks all the time, so I make up for all the Americans. Well, it's just nice to have so many people that think the way you do. There was times there, you think you're all by yourself, with you and Yahweh.
Yeah. It's getting high time to turn back Otherwise, it's too late, and then you can't repent anymore.
Or these born again, they you know, it's so funny, these born again, they'll come up to you and say, "Are you ready?"
Yeah.
"Are you ready?" You know, at first I didn't understand, what do you mean, am I ready? Ready for what? Are you going to shoot me? Or are you ready for the Lord coming?
Yeah,
that's the thing.
He's coming back.
There are so many people who think like us and yet wouldn't say that they were Christian at all. And yet, you know, that spirit, you can tell. You know, they have the same thoughts and, you know, they articulate in the same way. You know, there are so many more out there than perhaps we imagine.
Yeah. Well, you can use these a few things they'll do when you're talking. They find out they don't eat pork. They don't like the immigration thing going on. It usually starts that way with me. Start talking to people.
Well, right now here in upstate New York, it is 99 degrees.
Wow.
99? Huh?
Jeez. According to my computer, it's 99 degrees. At 3 p.m., that was half an hour ago.
Your computer or outside?
Well, my computer, because I rely on my computer to tell me everything, right? It's the weather thing on my computer, on my website.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jimmy.
I was just quipping, but it was overheated.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's 99 degrees outside, according to my weather service.
Well, did you get your garden going?
Oh, yeah, my garden's going and half of it's gone.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, some stuff's doing great. The squash is doing great. The beans are going to do great. The broccoli all flowered on me because I let it sit one more day and boom, it was gone. And it does it real quick. It's too hot here for it. Broccoli's a cool weather plant. And it's just way too hot here. I think next year when I plant broccoli, I'm not going to plant it till August. I swear, I'm not going to plant till August 1st.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
And that's probably my mistake. The carrots didn't come up, but the beans and the squash are doing great. And I got Brussels sprouts I'm still hoping for. And I got a few different kinds of squash. And I had a whole row of arugula that I've harvested, and I had about a dozen arugula salads, and I got about 20 bags of frozen arugula now.
Very good.
Yeah, you know, thawing out and throwing in an omelet. It's good stuff. I got a whole bunch of spinach that went to seed on me. It bolted and went to seed. And I'm a little disgusted with that because I had the opportunity to pick it, and I got busy, and I didn't do it, and 4 days later, it was already bolted. And I said, the heck with it. I'm going to let it just... I might take those seeds and try to replant them, but it grows in 6 weeks, so I'm going to do it in August because it's just too hot right now. And we're not really used to it. It's hotter than normal up here, right? I mean, last year, I think I remember it hitting 90 one or two days, and that was it. In the peak summer. Now it's been hot as hell up here for a couple of weeks.
Well, Al Gore would say that's global warming, you know. Hollywood would say global warming.
Yeah, but he has to then explain why it's -12 most mornings in January and February, right?
Well, he can't make that comment right now because he has a meeting.
He'll never get
Bolton down and get him. No, you know, I planted, same thing, I planted spring onions a couple months ago, and I guess because the temperature, you know, it just dropped for a while, I lost that, so I replanted again, and I put in some, what do they call, table lettuce, I think you guys call it over here,
and
June, and so I planted that, and that's coming up like, and my carrots are doing pretty good, so...
Yeah.
That's about it. We're going to live on lettuce and carrots.
June disconnected when I was quoting Matthew chapter 5. I guess she couldn't handle it.
should it be?
No. Oh, she's awesome. I didn't know.
I'll ask her afterwards. Well, that's okay.
Excuse me again. Where did you say that information about Martin's brother?
It's on the Saxon Messenger site on the lower left-hand side of the menu.
Is it July?
No, on the Saxon Messenger website, all the way at the bottom of the left-hand side menu.
Okay. Let me check that out.
Just keep scrolling down. It's a long menu.
All right.
You'll see In Memoriam.
Okay, okay.
It's not quite at the bottom, but almost.
You know, I found the reason why I couldn't make any DVDs. I shouldn't even say this. I said, we don't have a burner in this computer.
No?
I can't get it. It says DVD ROM. And.
Oh, okay. It's an old computer now, isn't it?
Yeah,
that ROM usually means read only, right?
Yeah, read only. Yeah. Then it doesn't work. Yeah,
I can't believe it. All that money I spent on buying this little software. So anyway, we're gonna get in.
You don't buy software to burn a DVD. You just don't. It comes free. I mean, there's tons of free programs available. I've never paid to burn a DVD. I don't do any video editing, but I'm sure you get free DVD editing, you know, movie editing software too out there.
Yeah. But I don't have a burner. That's what I'm saying. I don't have a burner in it. Of course you can't burn DVDs if you don't have a burner, right?
Well, you don't have a DVD, a device that's capable of writing them, right?
Right.
Well, when somebody says burner, they're usually referring to the software. A program that burns the DVD, right?
Yeah. So you can connect them externally.
Yeah, I mean, they're not expensive, Danny. $30. You can probably replace it for $30.
Yeah.
And take the one in your computer and remove it and put a new one in. It's only two plugs.
Right.
That's it.
Two screws and two plugs. Usually.
Yeah. But
or buy one that hooks up to a USB port. It'll be slower, but it'll work.
Yeah.
It will work, yeah.
But just seeing all that trouble that, you know, talking to you and all that.
I remember you going through it, but I couldn't imagine that you didn't have a DVD burner in your... a device capable of creating the DVD.
Right, yeah. Well, you know what the old saying is, lights are on, no one's home, I guess.
Well, the computer's got to be 6 or 8 years old then.
Yeah. I don't think it's that old. Well, you know, I don't know. My wife bought it. I don't know whether she bought it secondhand or whatever. She may have bought it secondhand. I thought it was brand new. Maybe not.
I can't imagine buying a computer today that didn't have a device capable of writing a DVD, right? Because they've gotten cheap enough, right?
Yeah,
it's always you.
I got four computers here, and they could all write a DVD, and one of them's 10 years old.
Right.
See, they were,
And I'm getting all angry about it, and there it was, I didn't have a burner.
No, I'm sorry. The one that's 10 years old is a DVD-ROM. But it's a 10-year-old computer. It's an old Dell.
Well, this is a DVD-ROM, but it won't burn. It's not a burner.
ROM means read-only.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it means. So my 10-year-old Dell, it might be 11 or 12 years old by now. That's a read-only. But my laptop and my other two computers, and one of them's a $300 cheapo E-Machines computer, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that burns DVDs because I use it to burn DVDs.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, the devices are down to like $30 probably. Yeah, you could probably go to a Best Buy or something like that and buy a DVD.
Yeah, they have a place called Curry's, and they I guess they combined with PC World and go over there and pick one up.
Yeah, it's two plugs and two screws, and your computer should recognize it without too much of a problem.
Right.
Yeah, normally spoken, yeah.
I can't get over myself.
Hmm.
So, don't tell anybody that I didn't know that, but you know what I mean? But,
I don't know enough about the history of the EU. It started out as the European Economic Community, and it went through a few changes. I don't know enough about the history of it to comment on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was the Frankfurt School as we know them. That's a philosophical school. I'm sure a lot of the Jews followed Frankfurt School philosophies, but... Yeah, right. Communists. Perverted communists.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely, yeah.
But now, the European Union are now trying to make into a region the south part of England and the northern part of France into one region. Now, you might remember that there's a bit of water in between called the English Channel.
Yeah.
But can you imagine the stupidity of wanting to artificially create a region with the English Channel in between?
Well, they want to do that so they could really connect the north of Scotland with the south of Algeria, right?
Yeah. But they're wanting to divide and rule. They won't see the end of the nation state, of course. So this is a regionalization method of achieving that. And they're going to call it the Arc-Manche, which is interesting because Manche is the French word for La Manche, for the English for the channel.
Yeah, the channel, yeah.
So they're going to call it the Arc-Manche.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I read, where was it, in France, where the Muslims are praying in the streets and blocking all the roads, and they were saying that they're doing this in protest because... The French government want the French government to build them a mosque so they could pray. And we're talking about maybe the Cathedral of Notre Dame, turning it into the Mosque of Notre Dame.
Oh, I think it goes like that.
They all meet in the street and shut down hundreds of thousands of people.
One time
blocking people's homes.
Hmm.
And, wow, that's really...
You better don't be there.
And they're interviewing some of the people there, one Muslim woman who said that we only obey Allah's laws and we don't obey anybody else's laws.
Right.
These immigrants coming into England, they're saying how they were, they just wanted to come and have peace and live in peace and harmony and everything and get along and follow their religion.
They want to colonize. That's what they're doing.
They want to colonize.
Last year, one in four births were to foreign mothers here in the UK, and the top boy's name was Mohammed.
Yes.
That gives you some idea as to the amount of infiltration.
Yeah.
Hey, look at in America, and you would think in the U.S. we're probably one of the most armed nation in the world, personal arms and everything. How would you imagine that someone like Obama would be president? And you would think that the American people, there has to be at least a couple million angry Americans that don't like it, at least go down there with their arms, with their guns and everything, and remove it. Because that's what the concept, that's what our founding father said. But yet, they don't do anything. It's just amazing how they're so dormant.
Well, they assumed that he was properly elected, and he wasn't on several grounds, was he? Because you've got electronic voting, which can be... He was not eligible in the first place.
But it's just how the people are so, brainwashed or smoking too much pot or something, Mm-hmm. They don't seem like, you would think that they would really by now be up, totally upset. I mean, I can imagine if you put all those guns in the people's hands over here in Northern Ireland, what would happen. Some would happen.
Yeah.
But it just seems like Americans are just being cradled. I don't know, am I wrong or what? I just thought, there would be more action. But it seems like, I don't know where it's aerial spraying or in the food, they're docile.
It's been going on for, say, 40 years, maybe 50 years. And they don't think like they used to think. They don't see anything wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't
think about it.
Yeah, imagine.
I
mean, our coast guards are going to be taken away from around the British Isles. And what complaint you hear about it for one day and then it's lost. Something else takes its place. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that we are being given away under their very noses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No one comments. No one knows. If I speak to people, it's like, I know this probably sounds a bit trite, but they sell hot cross buns all the year round in the shop. And I said to a lady, why are they selling these buns all through the year? Is it so people will forget the association with Easter?
Mm-hmm.
And she was an elderly lady and she just looked dumbfounded. The thought had never crossed her mind that that's
right.
What they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's happened to them, but...
It's amazing. You would think that there'd be more reaction from people.
There's no reaction to anything. I mean, the local school children here are pushing on cabaret. And when I said, why are you pushing on, cabaret? They look blank at you. I mean, young teenagers in a theatre group, musical, why don't they put on something uplifting?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you... It's all propaganda. It's all the German era and the Nazis.
Right.
Why are they doing all these things? Somebody's leading them and they can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all clever. So it's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And the propaganda about Germany, it keeps rising its head. They don't let it pass. I mean, every year, I think... So the Jews are getting it really ingrained in people. They won't be able to think any other way. They won't reason it out or think for themselves.
Right.
I'm amazed. Much hope, frankly. It's not going to turn round. You can only get one person at a time start thinking. You can't get people en masse to change.
Well, there is a point when that will happen, but we don't know what the vehicle is going to be, right? So we got to just keep on doing our obligation and being his witnesses.
Absolutely. And I've been listening to Caroline Yeager every day for an hour on RBN Radio, and she talks about everything connected with the Second World War, and she talks about other things such as eugenics and dysgenics. That's what we were doing yesterday and today. And the amount of information that she gives out, which is so interesting. And people are ringing in and saying, I've been lied to all my life. And it's just music to my ears to hear people say that.
Yeah, she must be doing good then. That's good.
Who's this?
Caroline Yeager. She's an American.
Is she on the radio?
She's on RBN every day.
RBN.
And
oh,
right. You can download the MP3 and play it. You know, play it back at a more civilized time. Or you can actually listen live because she's on 9 o'clock in the morning, which is about 2 o'clock in 1 o'clock in the or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Carolyn Jaeger.
Oh,
so it's Carolyn spelled Y-N.
If you look at the last pages of the Saxon Messenger this month, you'll find links that were put in there and things like that.
Oh, okay. I haven't read all that whole
thing. And she's got a superb website as well.
I'm behind in everything.
But she encourages callers. So people can call in and either ask questions or give some information. For example, I think yesterday somebody rang in about the IG Barbon and the alleged fluoridation of water in Germany. And she said there isn't a scrap of evidence for this. And that was right at the end of the program yesterday, so she started today's program with that. You know, it's so interesting that you're getting this sort of attention to detail. And it's very good. And I would certainly encourage everybody to listen and perhaps contribute as well. But the website's good too, if you want to direct people there. And Havana is very sort of restrained and almost laid back. And it goes down very well with the subject that she's dealing with.
Jaeger.
I've had more luck with people that who have really never been involved in religion.
Yes.
Than speaking with people that, like when you have the Jehovah's Witness come to your door, or you're born again Christians, or whatever, someone that's been tied in with the church. It seems to me it's easier to speak with people that really never been brainwashed with all that information yet.
Right, they're not getting that weekly dose of universalism brainwashing.
Yeah.
Seems like it's so easy. The other day I had a guy come to the door from UNICEF, you know, a young man.
Okay.
We got talking and everything, and he never did bother about asking me for a donation after we got done talking, but... But, you know, if they're good white, if they look white to me and they're, you know, our race, why not? I'll bring it up to them, see what they say.
Yeah, you have to. That's good. Yeah.
And sometimes I believe Yahweh sends these people to us for that purpose.
For that purpose. Yeah.
But it's the most natural way, really, of being able to exchange that sort of information, isn't it?
Yes. Especially when they come right to your house and you got your information right here. So, and then you could call Bill up at 3 o'clock in the morning his time and ask him a question if you need to.
I'm away.
Or Judith or somebody. It doesn't matter, does it, you guys?
I'm usually awake. Last night it was 5. Today it's tonight, who knows what time it'll be.
I was just being
If I log on too early in the morning, you're going to be aware when I'm trying to do the download.
Yeah. But that's what I found. So it's whatever we do what we have to do.
That's it.
Nothing's more enjoyable to me than to find someone that's really interested and ask you questions and that. Never heard anything put like this before, and that's really fantastic.
But they are real.
Awaken, you know.
Yeah.
It is really. To me, it is.
So far, I got only trouble seekers.
Yeah. But you never know, you know. You never know when you're speaking to people and who you're talking to. Might be the next president. You never know. Might be.
Yeah.
You're sowing the seed.
You never know when you're going to entertain angels, right?
That's a good way of putting
that
it.
That is so.
Yeah.
So you have to you have to testify to the truth every chance that you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't. Yeah, you know, people used to always bug me. You know, when I brought them to Identity and showed them what it was about, they'd always bug me. What's my role? What's my role? What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? And I'd explain that to them. That even no matter how frustrating it is, because you're rebuffed so many times, you have to attest to the truth with every one of your brethren that you possibly can. And you might not convert to the truth, maybe one or two people your whole life, or you might convert 10,000. But, you know, if you bring one person to the truth,
yeah,
and he brings 10,000,
yes,
yeah.
That very well could have been your role, right? I mean,
right.
Who are you to complain about that?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know. That's the way I look at it.
You
like
really don't know what influence you're having on somebody else at that moment, do you?
Well, right, and you don't know what impact it's going to make. Yeah, you know, they might think you're nuts now, but
right.
maybe in 6 months they're going to have some episode in their life and remember your words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or somebody else who will tell them the same thing that you told them. They remember back, hey, you know what? I remember so-and-so said that, too. That's
happened before.
Because it's the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And when you know this truth, sometimes I feel it's a burden sometimes, you know, because you just see all these things happening, and you want to do something. You know, you'd love to go out there and take the sword up and charge, but... I believe that, you know, the internet speaking to people and this is the thing to do. So
yep, that's the opportunity we have.
I'm very convinced, like Bill was saying, that you know, that Yahweh and his angels are going to suss it out.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Because
I do.
I mean, if man was supposed to have done it, then say Hitler would have succeeded.
Mm.
It was supposed to have been done that way. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe. And we will shall see.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be right back.
Well, what else is going on today? We don't have any questions, debates, inquiries, inquisitions.
Oh, there is still something I should almost forget. In the Greek language, what would be the name for a crowd of human beings? It means for the crowd. What is there the name for in Greek?
Just the word plethos is a multitude, right?
Plethos, yeah.
And that's usually what it is in the New Testament. I mean, Paul uses that word clouds, great clouds of witnesses, and we also see that referred to in the Revelation, right? But that's really a poetic or allegorical use of that word, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But plethos, let me get it right out in Liddell and Scott right now.
Yeah.
Plethos, okay? A great number, mm-hmm. a throng, mm-hmm. a crowd, a multitude. The greater number, the greater part, the main body. It means a mass of people, right?
Right. Yeah.
In context, I mean, it could be a mass of other things too, you know. It could be a mass of rats and you know, but referring to people, that's the word that word appears often in the New Testament, wherever you see crowds or throngs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For we have the idea that could there be a switch possibility or whatsoever between cloud or crowd? What was mentioned there? A crowd
I'm sorry?
Or a cloud? So that, yeah, exactly. That's what you have to say. That's right.
I need a passage.
Cloud? Yeah, because that is written, he is coming in, in a cloud.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that could very well be a use of the word, and I think it is. The same way Paul used it, coming in throngs and masses of people, like Paul said, great clouds of witnesses.
Yeah, that's what it is. Because we discussed it with Chris, and he came over it and he said, yeah, but don't forget that in European languages, in German and Dutch, you have the same thing. Because here in Germany, you have a volk, V-O-L-K, that's a volk, that's a large population. And if you change the V in a W, then you have a volk. And that's a cloud. So it's in German the same thing, and in Dutch you have the same thing as well, that you're talking about a wolk and a volk. It's in the same way written as in German.
And now, when was that distinction made in the writing?
That's in...
When was that description made in the writing?
In the writing?
Yeah.
Well,
They're pronounced the same, aren't they?
Yeah, they're pronounceable. The problem is the same in the three languages. The three Germanic languages, they have the three. There's almost the same word, cloud and crowd.
Well, what I'm saying is it is the same word.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I mean, 500 years ago, before most people wrote, 1,000 years ago, there's no difference, right?
Yeah, there you were. Yeah. So
maybe printers decided to spell one V and one W just to be able to distinguish what's meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's basically the same word. I mean, there's a lot of examples of that in language. Where the men that wrote the dictionaries made the distinguishing, right? Because they got to make the distinguishing because they're the ones that wrote the dictionaries.
Yeah, that's it. You have to write something. So now it's clear that it's indeed more or less the same word. It's indeed the same thing. And then it's logical. For clouds, people are going to go on and say, they're flying saucers and so. And they say, get shit of these stupid flying saucers. So that's an idea which Einstein came in. But this is nonsense. You're talking about a cloud and a lot of people.
Yeah, you mean to tell me you look through that telescope all night and you don't see those little green things flying around up there?
I saw a lot, never that. and if when I'm seeing something green, then I'll rip out my eye.
Yeah, you don't see little green men in silver discs flying around up there.
So far, never.
Well, I have seen them. I believe in saucers. I've seen them. So, and I'm not kidding.
But there are so many people who are seeing things, and when we are asking the ones who should see them, they never saw them.
Yeah.
And then they say, they don't want to see them. No. I have heard that in South America, where these people are so stupidly sensitive for all that nonsense, and they were seeing anywhere ovnis, which was not the truth at all.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm being honest. I stopped drinking 27 years ago, and I ain't seen nothing since.
Well,
who knows what they have been drinking?
I think some of these, what they call these little green gray men or everything, I think they're just part of they're part of satanic order.
In case of them, yeah.
I don't know. When I worked on the oil fields and stuff, on oil rigs, clear skies, and seen a lot of stuff up there moving around that there was nothing from this earth could do that kind of stuff. And not only once. I've seen it many times up at my dad's ranch at night. All kinds of activity going on in the sky and. Way up there where there was no way we had any type of a plane or a jet that could move like that and turn almost in a 90-degree angle. And I believe, a lot of it's, I believe Yahweh is always watching.
Yeah, come on, Danny. There were silver-bellied birds, and the sun's rays were reflecting off them.
Yeah.
Shout out to Stefan, who was the Sussex man. He's waiting for introduction.
I don't see him.
At the bottom, under open house.
Oh, I never changed the channel. I'm sorry. I'm so lax.
Hi.
Yeah, we're just talking about little green men. And
no, he lost his microphone.
No, but Alan Skype, just as I was trying to get in and carry on for about an hour, I told him.
Oh.
Well, Alan should have been here.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but he said he was going to look in. I don't know why he hasn't.
He'd rather watch GodTube or something.
Yeah.
And then earlier
on.
I believe he's off to Ireland shortly, so you might see.
I'll leave him. I'm not hungry right now. Sorry.
Yeah. You hear that, Danny? Chris is telling you that Alan's on his way to Ireland shortly.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay. He should be. You mean Alan from England?
Yeah, from Newcastle.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he usually gets over and he'll call me when he gets over. That's very good. Yeah, thanks. So.
And he's going over to sort out something to do with his father's will or something. I'm not quite sure what it's about, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's got a lot of family problems there, too. I mean, his business, but. Well, it worked out. So, he's. He's a very good company. We have a great time. We get together. We suss out all the problems of the world and get everything straightened out. It's just like on this forum here, you know, it's nice to talk to people to understand what you're talking about. So, and they don't call you names when you talk about the UFOs either. They might be saying, sure, Danny, sure, but, you know, they don't.
Yeah.
You know, but,
Well, I've been having green men in Ireland.
I haven't seen any of the little green things, but they're spaceships, whatever they cruise in. I've seen, up at my dad's place, it was a clear night, you would see at least maybe, I don't know, average maybe 5 or 6 a night traveling way up there. I don't know what it was. It wasn't a shooting star, because I don't think shooting stars almost take a 90-degree turn and slow down and then start up again. And there's just some stuff we've seen that's just unbelievable. So I'm sure ICE sees a lot of them over there in Iceland. No?
Wait. He's muted, isn't he, by the look of it?
Yes, yep. Your dad's all in England. Yep.
Well, everybody with a C next to their name can unmute themselves. And his microphone is muted by him, not by the board.
Oh.
Yeah, he's open, yeah.
Well, I had a problem there last week where I couldn't, my mic just would not work. I'd reboot everything there, and Judith, she tried to talk me through a few things, and it was just, I was out of control.
Well, when I came on, wanted to update the software, so I thought, well, I better let it, otherwise I might not be able to get in, and that took quite a time.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah.
That's a problem now. All your software.
All working now.
Your middle's doing something and Windows wants to update you, you know, and it turns you off.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's yours.
That's my Big Ben.
You're 6 minutes late.
You know what? Talking about your clocks, I can never get my clock to the time or the chime in the right number.
No, it's the, if it stops.
How do you do that? How do you set that?
Well, you got somebody told me you need to go backwards. I mean, I've heard that's bad to go back, but backwards. But somebody said if you do that, it works. You know, if it's chiming, you know, say it's 5 o'clock and it's chiming 6. Well, if you turn it back to 4, it'll chime 5, and then it, and when it gets to 6, it'll be the right time.
Yeah.
I think there are some that have an adjustment on the back, which, when you set it, always goes to, I think, 12 o'clock, and then you. You know, you wait till it's 12 and then set it off from there.
Okay, I'll try that.
But they're all different.
That absolutely drives me nuts when it can't get to that. It was interesting the other day. I went to this physical therapist at the hospital there, at the local hospital, and when I was in the cubicle there, or in the little room, waiting room, and off to my right, I hear these Asian people, Chinese or something, going, and off to my left, there was these Indians, and the one had an interpreter. Anyway, I mentioned something to the nurse, just being silly about all these foreigners coming in here, I said, well, I'm married to a woman here, so we got talking, and she said it just really upsets me that these people come in, they can't speak English, and they had now the patient next to me, on my left, she had had to have.
Go.
Oh, I thought it was me. Right.
He swallows. That sounds out. He lost his speech. Jews got him. Yeah, they raptured him.
So what's the weather like in Bavaria?
Now. 2 days ago, it was fine weather, and I worked hard on the cap of a tractor, and there was just a tiny bit of wind, and I got a cold. So I had to go indoors, and I had my fun, and now I'm sitting here with a heater on my stomach. To keep the summer warm. I really got a nice cold. I have fever. I don't like it. I can't have that. But all right, I have still 4 weeks to go, almost. And I have to be ready in time. For illness, there is no time.
I was hoping to get some work done today in my garden. But, you start and then it comes on to rain. Not heavy, but just enough to get you wet. Because I'm trying to get it a bit ship-shaped for my brother comes next Monday. So I've been out between the showers, and far as late logging in, because it just stopped raining about 7, so I thought, well, I better go and do another half hour's work, And of course I come in, and then Alan Skypes me and keeps me on for about an hour.
Yeah, there you were. Yeah. So, I was flying over.
Yeah, and I said, oh, it's the four. He said, oh, is it? I'll log in, but I haven't seen him logging in yet.
He got a telephone call.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was June.
Yeah.
You know, June left us also. She was in, and she went off for whatever reason.
I think she's having trouble with her mic. I don't know.
Oh, could be. Yeah, it's all possible.
Did she speak, or...?
Yeah, we heard her in the beginning. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah. She wasn't lying, but she dropped and she left and was out
for the night. I think it could be, I know she said her son might be coming round for dinner, so could be she had visitors.
Yeah, that is right. That is right. That's most probable. Yeah. Otherwise, you would have said that she was going. Yeah, okay. That is clear stuff. Right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, all right. So much the better.
I've just been doing some Wolfgang, added a bit to his biochip, you know, so he wanted me to translate that into English from the German, so I've been busy with that as well.
Okay, that's all right.
So,
goodbye to you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always work to do.
Yeah.
For today, I started the construction of the rotating microphone loudspeaker for demonstration of the Doppler effect. That's what we need in the show, or in the meeting. And that's the rotating microphone. There's always a lot of work, but I could find an amplifier here which did the work, so it's possible. Yeah, it looks good. The beginning is there. I only have to outbalance the machinery, and then it will work. And then you have a rotating microphone, and if the microphone, the loudspeaker, if it comes towards you, the frequency goes up. And, there we go. And if it's rotating away from you, then you will hear that the frequency goes down. And that Doppler effect you can do indoors, at least so far known. That's what I'm going to try, but that's an interesting thing to understand what it is. And you can use it very, very well.
So does that mean that matter has some of the same qualities as sound?
There we go.
I'm just asking. I don't know. I'm ignorant, right?
I think Matthew's dropped off, is he?
What was the question?
Nah, he's there. Well, he's sort of there. He muted himself or something.
Matthew,
does that mean, if the Doppler effect is true, then does that mean that matter has some of the same, or at least light has some of the same qualities of sound, right?
Exactly, 100%, except that the sound doesn't go to the universe. There is no sound transport. There's nothing which is the carrier. But for a light, it has the same thing. If the object comes towards you with a high speed, then it will be bluish. And as soon as the reverse way going away from you, then it's getting red. And that makes the interesting thing. That's one of the information carriers in the universe. And you must just have to see it and to know it and understand it. And the analogy is with sound in the atmosphere is the easiest because you don't need to have to rotate so fast. It's difficult to show up in a laboratory on Earth with high speed of sound, far of light. We can't do it. That doesn't work. But outside in the universe, in the big laboratory of your Earth, there you can see it. There you can see it. It's a very clear thing. Yeah. And that's one of the themes of the speech show I have here. There's still a lot to do. Yeah.
So anyway, you're getting there, I take it.
There you are.
Now, I need some kind of Doppler effect right now because it's 100-degree weather. I can't deal with it.
Get the hose out. Big bucket, fill it up and dump it on you.
I'm going to take the dog down the creek after the program. I think I might jump in there with him.
Yeah.
It's kind of shallow now, though. It was only about, 8-10 inches the other day.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
What's your humidity there, Bill? You know?
It's 50% roughly. Isn't too bad. It's fortunate.
That contributes.
That's dry. Mostly it's here 99% and then 80% humidity.
Well, it very often is like that here, but not quite when it's 99. No, not right now. We've been lucky.
Yeah.
Well, we've had a lot of days where it's 90 degrees and 88% humidity, right?
Oof.
Yeah, but, yeah.
That's like down in Florida.
Yeah, but you better go to the basement.
Yeah, much of last week was kind of like that, but this week it's been hotter, but it has been a little drier, fortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never did like that weather in Florida. Southern California, I think, has the best weather in the world.
Oh, yeah, you can go to Palm Desert. That's very nice. Then you need to have an umbrella against the sun.
Yes. What amazes me out there in those desert cities like that, Palm Springs and Palm Desert and everything, is how parking, like if you go to the grocery store, you would imagine with all that sunshine that they would have shelter, like, you know, like a awning or something over when you're parking your car out there. Nothing.
109
degrees, 110 degrees, it just you just bake out there.
You're right, I am. Yeah, you better take a big umbrella to have it over your car.
Yeah.
Keep it in the shade.
You got everything. Yeah. You just stay in it. You stay in it, whether when it's hot like that, you stay in the air conditioning, or you sit out by the pool, you know, underneath the shade and jump in the pool every 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
But I prefer that hot weather than that weather in Florida type, you know, with the high humidity and everything.
Yeah.
I just feel a lot better.
Well, what's that? I remember. Was it in Las Vegas? Or was it in...
Yeah, hot days.
No, it was in Las... Long ago, many, many years ago, they were seated in the pool, and the stars were shining above us.
Yeah.
And it was pretty dark. And they said, hey, never have seen this from the pool on. But it was necessary to stay in the pool. It was so hot.
Yes.
I think it was the same as that time. That it can't be. There's far too much city light. It was in the south. It was somewhere in the south. I think it was in, nearby of Haute-Toussaint. There it was. We have been staying in Haute-Toussaint. There it was in the swimming pool. Yeah, that's what I remember. For the Haute-Toussaint, it's not so much city light. And during the night, they mostly don't have these films. Well, that's where I go.
I remember last night. I think it was in 99. We were in Memphis. We went to go see Elvis Presley's place there.
Oh, yeah.
And Graceland. And I remember driving up there. We stopped to get gas. I don't know. We were just outside of town there. And I had I mentioned there was a black guy there. I asked him, you know, where the mansion in Graceland was. And he told me, he says, you know, you better watch you being white people going in that area. He said, it's pretty dangerous. That's what he told me.
This
black guy telling me about being dangerous because he said it's you know, it's a dangerous area for white people to be in there. For anybody, he says. But
that is right.
So, and I remember going there, with my dad took us there way back in 76. And, you know, it was mostly all white. No, nothing, no problem.
And it's
now it's dangerous. So,
You better don't go into Boston. If you're in going to Boston, you're also be capable of being killed in Los Angeles area.
Jesus, yeah. That's the trouble with California. You know, they've got the greatest weather, but it's so integrated there now. It's so dangerous.
Yeah.
Because
you have to move
on. Tribal. You know, the Mexicans and blacks, they're all tribal. And then,
There's no safe place anymore.
No.
I'm glad that I'm sitting here. I have no complaint.
Yeah, I mean, really, when you're in the area where mostly you're on your own kind.
Yeah, we have here still our white ones and some Russians.
Yeah.
In these villages, you're out of problem. But when you go downtown, you're lost. There's a lot of people of all kind of populations, and I don't like
it. Well, tell me. It's
crowded out the whole time.
Tell me.
You're talking about Munich, are you, Matthew?
Yeah, that's filled up. You're a lot of people.
Good, because it's the nearest big town in Germany to Turkey, isn't it?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. It's an hour's car drive from here, and that's good enough. I'll stay away. Yeah. No, this is a very good place. It's just over the river Inn, and that means I'm living in actual fact in former Austria. But the Dukes of Bavaria, after the Napoleon disease, disaster, you better say, they took it away from the Austrians. They shortened the country, and they placed the river alongside Salzburg. That's the new border. But actual fact, all families who have been living here for hundreds of years, they are real Austrians, and they were made Bavarians. Yeah, that's a good story.
So what's the real difference?
You know, and then the Austrians, they're a bit out of population, and they're as white as we are.
Well, that's what I mean. There's no real difference between Austrian and Bavarian.
That's right. That's right.
Except for how somebody drew the line way back before the time of Otto I or something, right?
Yeah. But some people here in Bavaria, they are saying the Austrians, they are dummies. And they have all kinds of jokes negative for the Austrians.
Yeah, but you know something? If you go to Tennessee, you hear that about people in Kentucky. If you go to Virginia, you hear that about people in West Virginia. If you come to New York, you hear that about people in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So it don't end. That's just a typical economic and social rivalry, basically.
Yeah, many times. Yeah, that's in the Netherlands, you do have that for the Belgians. But unfortunately, they are dummies. Yeah, this was wrong. One day, I had to find out in Brugge, in the place Brugge, that's that picturesque town in Belgium. And there is a museum for the modern, not modern, but the fine art. It's very interesting, but I knew there were some information to be found about our family painters. So I called the consulate in downtown Amsterdam to inquire what the address is. And I wanted to have the address, and I could write them a letter. And so all the women lighted, no problem, Belgium, you could hear it on the speech. And they said, no problem, I have it here. I said, okay, what is it? And then she said, yeah, that is Diver, number two. I said, how do you spell Diver? Like Fiver, but that was a D. Yeah, that is stupid spelling. That is typical Belgian spelling. If I would never have known the word fiver, how to write that? Then she said, that is real stupid. And I turned to a friend of mine and I said, yeah, this is crazy. She said, yeah, that's so stupid. Well, they can't even spell.
Do they pick on the Poles like that in East Germany? I'm just curious, because in America we pick on the Poles for that reason all the time. No, maybe not. Maybe my question just didn't work. Oh, he dropped again.
It disappeared.
Poor Matthew. It only happens when he talks a lot, I swear. If he sits here quiet, it don't happen. And he starts talking, I think he just overheats his cable or something.
Well, it'd be better when he's got connected to that high-speed broadband, but he's disputing the price they want to charge him for it, I think. So he's probably had his euros worth.
Is that how they do it in Germany? They charge per word, per word that goes out over the internet.
Probably. It's always been, they've got a sensor, I think, in Rosenheim. That's a fairly big town there, Matthew. So they probably, somebody whose sensor's been listening into him and cut him off.
Yeah, well, we're only talking about the weather and how dumb Belgians are. I mean,
yeah, well, they probably didn't like that.
It's okay to talk about Belgians, but don't talk about Arabs. This world is nuts.
We were trying to return a sort of response to a questionnaire, a consultation document, on what it meant to the individual to be a European citizen. And I left my response until 2 days before the deadline. And another friend of mine did the same thing. And we emailed the responses, and the server blocked them because we're known Eurosceptics. So, you know, our voice would not be heard. So it's a similar sort of thing, a similar sort of blocking that's going on.
Are you back, Matthew?
Yeah, I'm here again.
Interesting.
Yeah, you disappeared.
Yeah, all of a sudden they said, well, there are too many crows in the building. Yeah, what crows is all nonsense. When you're speaking a bit too long to these outlaws here, then they just switch you off. And for whatever reason. And so, I guess. Yeah, but they are checking all these 16 channels. If I get one of them in my fingers, he will not survive, in spite of all. I hate that, somebody else is going to chop me off, for they see that I am not allowed to speak anymore. That's my business, not theirs. That is the new world order. And you can see that here that's going very fast. Yeah, okay. I forgot to make myself angry. Yeah. Ah, yeah, that is that one. And a loading image. Okay.
Loading image.
Oh, who is that? Must be his daughter. Yeah, a bop in California. Or is it his wife? She's looking at us.
That's his future wife, maybe. No, I'm kidding.
So? Is it Bundy?
He said he thinks it's Dakota Fanning or somebody last night.
Oh. Oh, that's Jarrett. Yeah. Our bearded man. Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, I still have to get the photograph in, but I didn't have the time to find out so far. Time flies so fast.
Europeans don't use avatars.
Yeah. Furlin!
Hello, Furlin.
Where is he? Oh, there. Let me see.
Well, what else do we have today?
Hey! What kind of excursion did he have?
Henry.
He's home.
There we go. Wow.
Where Who read Philadelphia? Philadelphia.
Yeah. I did.
You like that?
Good. Very good. Sad.
Well, it's representative of all of our cities. Some of our cities are a lot more advanced into decay than that, right? I mean, look at Detroit. It is much worse than Philadelphia, but...
I brought up a good point that about all these Chinese Chinatowns and stuff going up everywhere. Very interesting. I never realized that.
They're colonies.
Yeah.
Vessels of conquest, just like the Muslim neighborhoods in France. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you never thought about the Chinese. But everywhere you go. Little, you know, Chinatown.
Yeah.
Chinatown. Yeah. They don't have to assimilate. They just populate.
Yep.
And, you know, we talk about the blacks and all this other stuff, but they haven't really been that friendly towards white men either. So, Asian.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
No, but they're keeping their little isolated cells of Chinese people all in as many places as possible. And here, it's they're just pouring into Western Canada and using that as a launching pad to go wherever they want on the continent.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, I noticed in New York 30 years ago that the Chinatown in Manhattan, it is a culture of its own. It's an entity of its own. It's isolated. The people live by their own customs, their own laws. Basically, anything they want to do goes because the cops don't permeate. And our culture doesn't permeate that neighborhood, you know, culture barrier. And
right.
they basically live by their own law right in the middle of our city. And why do we allow that? And in the mid-1980s, the Chinatown in New York just exploded, and they started buying up the suburbs. And they bought up entire neighborhoods and little towns out. Like one example is Cliffside Park, New Jersey. Well, when I was a kid, it was like 99% white. It's an affluent Bergen County town. It's just next to Fort Lee. And it was like 98%, 99% white. And it was, I don't know, it was probably getting real close to majority Chinese by the early 90s.
And they move, you know, people accept the Chinese and the Asians easier into their culture, into their countries, their neighborhoods. Than
and white men and women accept them into their beds easier. I ejected just last week, and I have the thread on the forum. I ejected that this guy claimed to be a Croatian nationalist who was living in Canada, and he claimed to be a nationalist, and he was bragging here about how he was dating a Chinese girl, and I ejected him. I banned him. And there was a series of emails exchanged between us in which he did everything he could to defend his race-mixing right, basically, and couldn't understand why I banned him. But I put all his emails online. They're all on the forum at Christigenia.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I put the whole email thread online.
He could be, maybe he's mixed himself, so he's just not going to understand it.
Well, right. He's a Crow. I mean, that they started off all right, but you know the Balkans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Anything could happen there, right?
Yeah, you gotta watch.
Yeah.
That's what I noticed with people over the years. It doesn't click with them because you know it's not in them. They're not of us. They're among us, but not of us.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's most of these nationalist pagans are exactly like that. I'll put the link to the... that's the thread on the forum with our emails. I didn't respond to him at length because I knew I'd be beating my head against the wall, but I made a couple of responses. He just didn't get it.
Right. Yeah, that's easily... Well, you know, like we were speaking earlier, sometimes you just let it sit and maybe they'll come around, or maybe it's, you know, I've found that sometimes they just don't have it because they're not of it. So.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
So. But,
they seem to be repugnant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just the emails that we exchanged after I canned his butt from here.
Another subject that I've been going around and around is the Sabbath and when to take it. Over here in Northern Ireland, Sunday is considered, I would say, considered the day of rest. All businesses are closed. Until,
that's
I don't know if it's like that in England, but over here all businesses are closed until 1 o'clock. And they're open from 1 to 5. So
they're on the film Sunday.
The Sabbath being on a Sunday here than Saturday, which I usually used to keep on Saturday. But it's a, you know, you work your 6 days and you're off the seventh. But I don't know. I've always kept the Saturday. Seems like it worked for me on Friday and Friday night to Saturday night. But I don't know how everybody else feels about that.
Now, the shops are here closed from 5 o'clock to Saturday at 1 o'clock. Yeah, 1 o'clock. After 1 o'clock, it's closed and over.
Basically, it seems like it's, in most white nations, it's considered Sunday.
And the Sunday is closed here, except for some baker shops. Now they're changing that in the big towns. They have the baker shops, etc., open. Ridiculous. Because, what for? Because they want to have fresh bread. That's nonsense. Then you take it the day before, and that's old bread, they say. We don't eat old bread. Ridiculous. Yeah. They will get a time, then they will have that old bed. Then they will have to eat it.
Well, it's, you know, it does say that, you know, you work 6 days. It doesn't tell you exactly what day it is, but I don't know. We've been trying to switch over to the Sunday Sabbath, but I don't know, maybe because I followed the Saturday or Friday to Saturday is so long that it doesn't seem right, but it just seems like over in this country here, everything is, Sunday is considered, I believe, considered the day of rest.
You better keep it as a day of rest.
You know,
nothing wrong with that. I prefer to have it.
Yeah,
finally, rest.
The whole nation did it at one time, so you wouldn't have people coming to your door.
Some are saying it's a good time, and then they had the lawnmower on early in the morning. So I said, if there is a festivity day here in Catholic Festivity Day, then I'm not going to make noise. I don't want to disturb these people, and whenever I can, silence must be. And on Sunday, I don't want to hear any machine. There's no need for it. You can do it to somebody on a Saturday or throughout the week. Keep a day of rest for everybody. We need it. Yeah.
But it does seem like over here it is a Sunday is, well, you know, Sunday is, in Los Angeles now, it's just total pagan. California, every day there's no day of rest, you know.
It's just going on and on.
Like Las Vegas. So.
Yeah. Yeah, but it has to go on and on for the money. The gambling,
But, oh, no, no. Well, we're going to try the Sunday. It's just, you know, Sunday, there's over here, you're used to having the big Sunday dinner and all this kind of stuff, and there you are working. But we're going to try it. I don't know. My wife kind of talked me into it.
I don't know
how everybody else does it, but I guess it has to work. Working with your own personal program.
Yeah.
But I noticed that the church next to we're next to a Catholic church, and there's like 3 families, Indian families, going to the church now.
Oh.
From India.
Oh.
And I was.
Well, you got Indians in Ireland. I didn't know they got went over there.
And over here.
Yeah.
Like I was mentioning before, and there's some that are coming in here that are so dark that are just so dark, Sussex, man. You just can't believe how black they are. They're not niggers or nothing. They're Indians.
Really?
Indian from India.
Really
dark.
Dravidians, the untouchables, they are. They're as black as African Negroes.
What, the Dravidians,
yeah.
Yes, the lowest class, the lowest caste. Dravidians, right. They're called Dravidians.
Oh,
that's the lowest caste of Indians.
Bill. They are absolutely, I look at people, but these are just something I've never seen before.
I've seen them in New Jersey. They have them in New Jersey.
Black, dark, just their look. They're even their dark look is fierce.
Right. Well, if Ireland has a hotel or a motel or a couple of convenience stores, they have to have Indians, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I was mentioning to some of these business people over here and doing the deliveries and stuff. And I tell them, you watch the next elections, you'll be seeing Panjama. He'll be running for some office or whatever. He'll probably get voted in.
Yeah.
Oh no! You'll never see that over here. You said never. Never say never. But you watch and see.
Yeah.
That's what they do. You know, they get on the board of what is it? Congress or Commerce? You know, they get in the Commerce Club and whatever it is, and they work their way in. And everybody thinks, he's a nice guy, he's hardworking, and that's how they get in.
Well, they get all kinds of loans and grants from our governments to start businesses, things that we can't get.
Over here, they give them, they got them nice houses, and they were building these new houses right up the road from us, and I was telling my wife, you watch, they're going to bring these people in, and they're going to move them right into your place here. You watch and see, and sure enough, the whole two or three blocks of those brand new three-bedroom houses are just loaded with these Indians and stuff. And Africans, black.
Ridiculous.
Bigger Africans bringing them in. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not supposed to say that word, huh? That's the N word, isn't it? Isn't that the N word?
Yeah.
I know. Ice doesn't like me to say that word. You're right, Ice?
Yeah.
Gotta watch. I don't want to stir up too much trouble.
You can do it.
Oh, I would appreciate it if you wouldn't say those words like that.
Nah.
I was in Los Angeles.
For all that is a better word, and that's a French word, and it's négligé. That's nice to use.
There you go. That's a fancy label, isn't it?
Yeah. I go from négligé, etc.
They have people so brainwashed with all that stuff, you can't say the N word or the L word or this,
Big milk. Yeah.
Yet they get on TV and talk about old Whitey and old Hunky and that old cracker down the road there and stuff like that.
Yep.
Bird shit.
Hey, you better don't get it on your shoulder.
I don't know how long white people will put up with it. I don't know.
Until the end.
Yeah. I guess when they're knocking down your door, that's when action will be taken, I guess.
Yep.
But how is the Muslim scene over in Germany? Is it Is multiculturalism spreading, would you say?
Yeah.
Would you say that it's getting stopped, or what do you think? The German people are participating in it, or?
Yeah, there are far too many of them here. Far too many. We don't like it at all.
But do you think the German people will resist it, or?
If it is going too far, yeah, then they will. Like in the Netherlands, they are now at the end. It's now it must be over. And by the last votings in the Netherlands, they had one who was doing his best against all these populations going in the country.
Uh-huh.
And he got the government, and he was in. And other people don't like it anymore. But you can't walk around in the street and hear strange languages which have nothing to do there.
Right.
That's what's happening here as well. There is a limit, and also here in Germany, the voices are growing up, but still too slow. You have to do more about it. But the Jews are infiltrating further and further as these outlaws. They just do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they push them in, and they give them the money. But so otherwise, these people never can come in here.
Right.
It's impossible. They better send them back to their own country and never again.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to see all you people living, and we're all in these different countries, that what's going to happen with these immigrants that come in when these economies start to collapse and fail. How long they're going to let these people come in, and even if they're taking the low-income jobs, how long they're going to let them. Let them even live in the country is going to be what's going to be interesting. See what happens.
Yeah. I think it's going to... it's very difficult or dangerous even to say something in advance, but I think there's a limit, and beyond that limit, it's getting war here. They're asking for problems.
Yeah.
And that is what the government wants, because then you get these laws being pushed through. We have the laws here to stand by for such things. Yeah. And the big calamity can come any time. Or whenever it comes and it passes by.
Bavarian man, there, Bob in California, says they should take all the blacks and send them over to Germany.
Yeah. We have enough of them.
Bob's trying to stir up some trouble.
Then the Germans could come here.
That'd be a good trade.
You know, that's a trade.
Yeah, but a lot of them don't speak English.
I wonder, it's interesting, I wonder what's happening with all those professional white people down in South Africa and where they're going to work.
The only thing they can do is beat it out of the country.
Yeah. I mean, there's an opportunity to increase your intelligence in your country and bring those people.
Hmm. Yeah. There are South Africans. Some are good, but not all.
Well, it's like anything I say. If you're going to turn land back over to the heathens, I think you should give them the land that you adopted when it was nothing there. I say burn everything down. Give them nothing. Give them rubble. Give them
ashes. I can only advise it, even I don't even remember what my family is doing still. There are some of the sideline family members who are living still in South Africa. Some of them escaped to the United States. This was a complete right thing, okay? And my niece came to the Netherlands when she was 17 years old. No, that's many years ago. And there are still some other ones who are having their farming land. I don't know what they're going to do there, because it's far too dangerous to stay. You've got to take your suitcases and move out of the country and forget it. Some places might still be possible to live, but from all the people I hear, you better escape the country as soon as you can.
What do you
have to search for there?
Over in England and everything, do you see on TV that they have advertisements to vacation in South Africa?
No, never.
I can't go over that.
It's too expensive.
Yeah, they're talking about seeing South Africa and how beautiful it is. thought, geez, where would you go? You'd be pretty dangerous going over there.
Yeah.
Whites are trying to escape, and what, you're going to go over there and go on vacation or holiday there?
Well, and if you want to see something very, very beautiful in South Africa, then you better go to Durban. I'm sure that within 24 hours, you're in the plane back home.
Yeah.
It's awful there. It's so degenerated, it's indescribable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I fire my niece once in a while, get information from South Africa, and then you can hear it and you see the photographs. It's totally gone. It's deteriorated in a way like Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good example for
America. And it's
American.
Getting worse. Getting worse.
Yeah, the good example for those Americans, the little red and white ones, as I say, the born-again Christians that love everybody that live in the Midwest that don't know anything about these people. Take a look at South Africa and Rhodesia, what they did, the blacks did over there.
Yeah.
When they lost their power.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's just as many whites being slaughtered by the blacks in America than in South Africa.
It's the same thing.
So, but
yeah, it's a sad world. Okay, we have a prospective idea and a view in front of us that the kingdom is nearby. And that's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Someone's going to have to take care of it.
Yeah. For this world, it's better to stop.
You just think how things can get any worse, you know.
Yeah. But how far is worse? It's in meanwhile far too worse, but it's still more has to come.
Yeah.
It's a threat.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to see it. This is what I can't understand. There have been good ones and bad ones at times, and so you don't need to worry. Yeah.
Yeah, you always there's good and bad in everybody.
Yeah.
But I think
I
believe over here in Northern Ireland, a lot of people, you guys, they see what's happened in England, and that's hitting close to home. A lot of people see that, and they see these dark people coming here. I've watched them, how the whites, they stare at these people when they're here, you know, just like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, previously they used to just be in the big cities, and of course it didn't affect the people out in the rural and small towns. So
right.
So they were quite happy, but now it's they're everywhere, even in the small towns. So people now are going to think, sit up and take notice.
They're raping the young girls over in England there, and like nothing, you know, throwing acid in their faces. And
one,
of course, she was going out with that black, and there was a perfect example for these young girls to see that. That's what happens when you date outside your own race.
Yeah.
And just lately too, there was another one that was battered to death. I don't know. I think it was a Muslim that beat her with a fire hydrant or something like that, because she looked at some other guy or something like that on Facebook. So.
Well, we now have the honor killings, and very few of those assault because the community closed ranks.
Yeah.
The police don't make any progress.
Well, Jews own the media here too, see, so you don't hear that. And they go by their law. Like you're saying, we were talking about the law at the beginning of this program, and look at how they do. They have that Sharia law, whatever it is like that, and do the same thing. If you catch your daughter with someone before marriage, they just batter her to death, you know?
They're now trying here to, at their headquarters, which is not very far from where I live, that the Muslims
are trying to establish three caliphates in the UK, which will be entirely under Sharia law. And apparently, they're having talks with the government. We know that they have Sharia law in the family courts, which is unbelievable, but they do. But this is going way beyond that.
Mm-hmm. And they just wanted to come to England to live in peace and practice their religion in peace and all that kind of stuff.
If anybody believes that Islam means peace, of course it doesn't. It means submission, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It means submission and the traditional Muslim concept of peace is when everybody worships and submits to Allah.
Mm-hmm.
And Christians are just idiots for getting fooled by all this Jew propaganda and not just opening the Quran and seeing the treachery for themselves. Or just looking back at history. And once the create a Muslim society, that they break into all the little sects and they're killing each other anyway. Look at the Sunnis and the Shiites and all of the struggles between the various caliphates over the Middle Ages. That they were butchering each other all the time.
Tell me something. Where did they ever come up with this Allah?
Well, I don't know except that it's a Hebrew word for oak tree, right?
This Allah, you know, is this Allah the same as Yahweh? He's not
no.
the same as Yahweh.
It's a Hebrew word for oak tree. I could establish that right in the concordance.
Oak tree?
Allah is almost identical to the Hebrew word for oak tree, yes.
And then that's for the Druids.
And,
it's paganism. Muhammad he created his own form of paganism and layered on top of it some Hebrew apocryphal literature and a claim to the Old Testament, and he created a religion by which to harness the pagan people of Arabia.
Right. He was half Jewish then, because his mother was Jewish, correct?
Yeah, I'm convinced he was. I'm convinced that Al-Zog and Gibbon are correct in that he was probably half Jewish, and it's right. beyond doubt that Jews wrote the Quran for him.
I had a Muslim come in when we had this restaurant there by the lake years back, and he come in and came in a couple times, and I got talking with him because I really never talked to a Muslim before. And I wanted to, he never did give me a straight answer where this Allah God came from. Never, if he's not Yahweh, then I'm violating the Ten Commandments because I'm a Christian. And this guy has nothing to do with Christianity. This religion.
Islam has nothing to do with, if you look at, if you look at the passages concerning Christ in the Quran, and I have looked at them, basically it perverts Christ and the apostles into a bunch of Muslims.
Yeah.
It's like a cartoon up about Christ and the apostles, and it has them doing Muslim things and being Muslims.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a caricature. It's just straight garbage.
Yes. And he was, I remember he was saying, we're different from Judaism because we recognize Christ as being a great prophet and all this kind of stuff. So, there's my brother. But, totally different type of people and religion, and just another coming into a Christian country like this. It's just unbelievable what's going on. And you're supposed to, and you're supposed to respect these people. You know, you're supposed to have there's good and bad in everybody, I don't respect anything of this world order.
Yes, strange world. Yeah, it is a pity. It has to pass by.
So will you say then, Bavarian man, that you think that multiculturalism is failing in Germany?
Failing? It's coming up more and more.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mistake.
No, I mean the Germans. They're. You think they're resisting this more now than?
Yeah, okay.
They did before, or starting
as far as they can. The government is as negative as it can be. For the government is on the dual hands, and they let them all in. Some of these, mostly they are squeezed on the end. They can't talk anymore. But in actual fact, all these governmentals, they're just doing what has to be done by their supreme masters, the Jews, Rockefellers or Churchills. And they let these people in, and they're continuing this ridiculous multiculti. In every town you will see it, it is absurd. I don't need to. It's here, Germany. You have to realize that it's Germany, and you have to stay in Germany. And if you don't like it, go out. Like they do in Australia. If you don't like it, yeah, then you move out of the country. It's the best there is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obliged in any way to them.
I thought I saw the president or prime minister, or whatever her name is, from Germany, saying that multiculturalism is not working in Germany.
They try, but
Merkel, what's her name? Merkel?
Yeah, that Merkel. I don't like her, to say the least.
There's a lot of
people having enough of that woman.
Well, the answer was to flood Germany with more of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think third term here in the government she's not going to make. Because she's making too many different mistakes, etc. And people have enough of it.
Right.
I can understand. It's no problem. But like any economy here in Europe, it's over. Anywhere I go, bad. And yeah, they are afraid of anti-Semitism coming up more and more, like in France. And it's coming up. They can't stop it. It's their own fault. For a lot of people do understand what is happening, and they don't like it anymore.
Now, yes.
Whether we have identity people in Australia, yeah, I think so. There are some more there, even Australia. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is, yes, a lot, indeed.
I'm New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're resisting this multicultural push, too.
Oh, yeah.
In Australia. Things like. But I noticed the programs there that they're coming from Australia, they're trying to. They're trying to integrate the dark races into their soaps and stuff like that.
Same thing.
You know, just I can't get over the young children's programs now here early in the morning. They always have these black presenters and all that stuff. And just don't miss.
That's what it is.
Such cruel people. You know, these same people wouldn't take a thoroughbred horse and mix it with a donkey, but yet they would try to eliminate the greatest race that brought more civilization and better living than any race on this earth. They'd like to wipe us out. It's just
of course. I mean, how else would you wipe us out? That's the only way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's true, too, yeah.
Yeah.
We're the only people who are capable of standing against what they are trying to achieve.
Yes.
So it's inevitable that they'll use this kind of strategy, and so far it's working. But
You know, their hatred is just unbelievable, their hatred towards us.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, our hatred towards them, too.
Ultimately. Okay, folks, I'm going to have a test for the night and see how I can get my stomach equalized and stabilized for the night. And see when to leave.
Yes, okay.
Okay, good night. Bless
you. I'm going to
see you again.
You
okay.
Bet.
Well, we'll call it a day, and it's been 3 hours. That's long enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Matthew's going to fill his belly with Wiener Schnitzel, and I'll say goodnight. Praise Yahweh, and thanks for being here, everybody. He's on August 4th. Yahweh.
August 4th. Yeah. Okay. See you. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yahweh's next, everybody.
Yep. Bye-bye.